This presentation has been previously broadcast.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Okay, here we're starting hour three. I can't believe it's here already, but if you haven't had a chance to get on the air with me, call me now, 888-914-9149. Let's go to John listening in East Vale, California. Hi, John. Where is East Vale?
Hi. Eastville is in Riverside County, probably about, 40, 50 miles east of L.A.
Yeah, I know Riverside extremely well. Did you feel the earthquake, the 6.0 earthquake?
You don't know. I just heard about it on the news, and I didn't. Usually I feel everything, but no,
yeah,
I didn't.
I'm kind of surprised you didn't hear it. Mm-hmm. That's okay. That particular earthquake was up north, but there have been some shaking down in the Southland as well. Anyway, go ahead and tell me what you'd like to talk about.
Okay, well, I've got a question for you, Patrick. I have been asked to be, by my neighbor, to be his best man at his wedding coming up next month. Mm-hmm. And after checking it out, and what I'm assuming to be, it will be taking place at a Protestant church.
He's Protestant?
I visited the website. You know, I'm not sure. I visited the website. I logged on to the, or checked their website out, and they describe it as multi-generational, multicultural, for whatever that means.
No, I don't mean the church. I mean him, your friend, your buddy. Is he a Protestant?
Yes.
Is he marrying a Protestant or marrying a Catholic?
No, a Protestant.
Okay. And neither one of them, neither the man or the woman, was a Catholic before? They were both raised Protestant?
I don't believe so. I don't know for sure.
Okay. Well, in that case, you got a green light. Not for me. You know, it's not my place to give you a permission slip. But yeah, you can go and be the best man at that for sure. Because if there were a complicating factor for you, it would be if either he was a fallen away Catholic or she was a fallen away Catholic, or for that matter, a practicing Catholic, but just getting married in this way, without a dispensation from the bishop, then you wouldn't be able to participate in that because it would be an invalid marriage because the church requires the canonical form to be followed. But this doesn't extend to that because none of the people involved are Catholic. So you can go. It's a great thing that they're getting married.
They are. They've been together a while, and from what I gather, they're doing their best to lead a Christian life, and mm-hmm. Known them for about 5 years, so
let me take it a step further.
Yeah,
let's say that they were two Hindus. You could go. Let's say it was two atheists getting married. You could go. You know, you can participate in that because marriage is a natural institution that was established by God Himself before any religion. So it's not religious. It has a religious connotation to it, but it's not in itself religious per se. And it's a good and blessed institution ordained by God, and so all people who have the who are free to marry have that right to marry, and you have the right to celebrate with them. It only becomes complicated if one of them is a Catholic, one or both.
I see. Okay, great. I appreciate the answer.
Happy to be of service. Thank you. 888-914-9149. Jim's asking me, what if one of them has been married and divorced? Well, you know, that raises other questions, but just if we want a plain vanilla scenario without the complications, we can just say that as a matter of course, two folk getting married, man and a woman, and as long as you don't have those complications. So let's say in the case of two non-Christians getting married, in a case like that, divorce and remarriage is not an issue because there is no baptism. They're not, there would not have been that sacramentality present in their marriages. Anyway, let's continue. Let's go to Maribel listening in Orlando. Hi, Maribel.
Hello, Patrick. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
Good. Well, I've heard you talking about the critical race theory, and as soon as I heard that it was happening, I looked for a Catholic school around us. And unfortunately, there's none around that close. And so I've heard that Orange County Public Schools here is also running together with the assisted school, a program that is virtual. So I'm wondering, is there something similar that Catholics are doing, like offering a virtual Catholic school?
Well, there are. So, for example, our friends at Seton Home Study, they have the wherewithal, the curriculum that can help you do the homeschooling for your children, much of it in a virtual way. That's one
but
program.
But without being a homeschooling, because unfortunately I have to work, so.
Yeah, I get you. So there would need to be some guidance on the part of somebody with the children. So if you were not able to work, I don't know if a nanny would be present. But if your children were going to be at home doing a program like that, there would need to be some kind of supervision. Are you interested in looking into something like that for your kids?
Well, I work from home, so I would be here, but I cannot be 100% with my kid.
Right, right.
But like this virtual school is totally virtual. It's 100% virtual, and it's it's all during the school hours. It's there's a teacher in front.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's virtual. So I wonder if we could, as Catholics, offer something similar and where we can feel safe that our kids are being taught correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are resources like that. And maybe you can talk with Seton Home Study and see what their offerings might be. I know that there's a virtual component to some of it.
Spell the name again?
Oh, Seton, S-E-T-O-N.
Okay.
Yeah, Home Study. They're friends of the network, so I would encourage you to check with them first. There are other ways of going about it. Now, one other program that my wife used when our kids were being homeschooled was something called K-12. And what's nice about K-12 is you can integrate, for example, Seton programs into that. You can mix and match if that's what you want to do. Not everybody does that, but it can be done. The K-12 model is a virtual accredited school. K-12, as the title suggests. And it's all virtual, and there are teachers who are teaching the kids, and there are administrators, and the tests are graded online and things of that nature. So things like that do exist. We found that very helpful. It's also, although it's not Catholic, it's not Christian in any specific sense, it's very Catholic-friendly. And so if you were to want to look into that, their website is k12.com. So, but check out Seton first and see what advice they can give you. They may have exactly what you're looking for. I'm just not deeply familiar enough anymore because my homeschooling days are long in the past. Well, my wife did all the hard work. She's the one who really did the homeschooling. I hope that's helpful, Maribel. Thank you. Let's go to Matt now in Fresno. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Pat. This is Matt. My question was, me and my wife, we've been married for about 14 years. We're Catholic. We have two kids. Mm-hmm. And if we don't want to have any more children, it's not that we don't want to, but do we have to live as brother and sister? No, I'm not saying we don't want to have children. It's, it's just kind of hard sometimes,
How old are the two of you?
I'm 34. She's 35.
Okay. So let's start with your question. No, you don't have to live as brother and sister. A very important part of married life involves marital intimacy. And God ordained it for your mutual upbuilding and the deepening of your friendship and the pleasure that's involved. All those things are part of it. That's part of the gift of marriage. So you have a right to that. The two of you do. And that you have a right to that in perpetuity. Now, obviously, the older you get, the body may decide to not cooperate as much, but you have the right to enjoy that good of marriage for as long as you're together, as long as you're married, as long as you're alive. But what do you do with regard to fertility? Because obviously, if your wife is 35, all other things being equal, she probably has at least another 5-6 years of fertility. And so if you're wondering, well, how do we avoid conception? If you have a serious reason for that, And that's another question you have to decide between yourselves is, do you have a serious reason for not wanting any more children? You see?
Well, just a little worried because our first one, he has special needs. And our second one, she's a newborn, 2 months. She's showing some signs. And so that's just concerning to us. And I know it's a, if we have another one, it's a cross to carry, which, you know, which is what Jesus would want, you know, to carry a cross.
Understandable. But you also have you have the right as a married couple to exercise your prudence and your best judgment to determine whether or not that is something that would be desirable for you. And so my answer to your bigger question is, do you have to live as brother and sister? The answer, of course, is no. God designed the human body, human physiology, in the case of women, with the monthly cycle, and I don't need to explain that to you. I'm sure you're quite familiar with it. But it is marked by a fertile time of the month, and the rest of the month is infertile. And so the tool that you can use that would not involve anything morally problematic like contraception or anything like that, the tool you could use is natural family planning. And there are different methods that you can use. You have the Creighton method, you have the symptothermal method, there are various ones that you can use. And in essence, they all sort of do the same thing, but they have different ways of going about it. And that is by observation and tracking using a chart, you know, the dates in the month, you can, once you and your wife understand her particular cycle, and that can be done over the course of a few months by doing the charting and the tracking, you can have very, very high confidence in knowing that during the fertile period of the month, you avoid marital intimacy. And outside of that fertile time of the month, you can enjoy marital intimacy without the concern that there may be conception, because the likelihood of conception is extremely low. Now, it's not foolproof.
Okay.
But some couples, they are nearly foolproof in the sense that they have developed such a keen awareness of the wife's monthly cycle that it does for them what you're looking to do. So that would be my advice to you. Number one, make sure that you've got a serious reason, and it sounds as though, given what you just mentioned, that would rise to that level. And then get in touch with the natural family planning people at your parish. Most parishes have a couple that helps with teaching that. And then learn how to do this. It's not difficult. And then the two of you will be able to jointly look at this chart every month, and then you'll know. And that way you don't have to live as brother and sister. And at the same time, you can safeguard your wife's health and avoid perhaps these problems that you just mentioned. You see?
Awesome. Hey, babe, guess what? Guess what Patrick said? Hey, Pat. I want to, if I could give an update to, thank you for your information.
You're welcome.
If I could just update the people about the women that wear the veils.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, over here in Fresno, it's very, very common. You probably don't see very many women or younger women wearing them. I mean, they wear them all the time.
That's good.
So just an update for everyone to know. It's very common over here.
That's good. Happy to hear it. Well, I wish you all success in your raising your beautiful family, and I think you'll find that natural family planning is exactly what you're looking for. I hope that helps, Matt. Thank you. Let's go to Bonnie now in Orange County, California, or actually Orange, California, the heart of Orange County. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Patrick. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was driving home from Servite High School here in Orange County and heard a mother who was looking for a virtual, like online school for her children, and you had suggested Seton. I don't know if you're familiar with Colby Academy. They're a school based out of Napa, California, but they've come a long way through. You can enroll full-time online with them. So if she's working from home, any kind of quizzes or tests that her children would take, the parent does need to proctor, but she could do that outside of their class time, so in the evening or on the weekend. I think it would be very doable for her, and they're classical-based. There's no Common Core. There's no critical race theory. There's nothing like that in their curriculum.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with Colby Academy, and I have high regard for them. I know some of the people who were involved in its founding, so I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I just wanted to let the listeners know that there is that if she's looking for a full-time virtual school, there is that option within the Catholic faith through Colby Academy.
Very good, Bonnie. Have you lived in Orange a long time by chance?
I was born here. Yes.
So do you remember what it was like a little further south in Irvine? Do you remember what it was like back in the day when Irvine was basically one giant orange grove?
Yes, I do. And my dad was born in Whittier. His parents were born in Whittier. So he's seen the entire Southern California area change.
Yeah.
And yeah, my husband was also born here in Orange County. So the two of us have seen it change a lot.
Yes, indeed. I remember those days. And I remember thinking about how wonderful it was. You had all this empty land and empty hills. And what do you know? It's not that way anymore. That's for sure.
No, it's not. All the avocado groves and the citrus, and that's my dad grew up on an avocado citrus farm in Whittier, and all of that's gone now.
Yeah, it sure is. Just a little walk down memory lane. Excuse me.
Yes. Thank you very much for everything you do.
Thank you. I appreciate the phone call. 888-914. Frog in my throat, excuse me. 888-914-9149. Speaking of Whittier, I was baptized in Whittier. I was baptized, where was I baptized? I was baptized at St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Whittier. And it's been ages since I've been back there, but one of these days I need to stop back in. Maybe I'll ask for a copy of my baptismal certificate. So yeah, a lot of deep family roots in that part of Southern California. Let's go now to Carmen, listening in Clearwater, Florida. Hi, Carmen.
Hi, Patrick. Hi. I have a question about a friend. She's Catholic. We've known each other all of our life since high school. We went to a Catholic high school and so forth. Mm-hmm. I've been to charismatic meetings with her in the past, and I did see her speak in tongues with other people, and that was just an experience way back when. But now, and this is ever since Trump lost the election, we've now kept in touch a lot more, and she's listening to all these prophecies from people that are not Catholic, the ones that you see on the TV stations, but they all have their, like Elijah, one's called Elijah something, but she sends them to me, and these are people that say, oh, well, God's got everything under control about what's happened to us and all the problems in the world right now. And she listens to all of this consistently and sends me videos on them. She even attended a recent conference in Florida. And all of the conference is based on all this stuff with prophecy, and there were a lot of doctors there and how they're
So let me COVID. Intervene and just ask you, what about this is, are you wondering if you should cut off the friendship, or what are you wondering about?
Well, we've been friends. We're going to be 70 years old. We've been friends forever, never had any arguments or anything. Mm-hmm. But what I want is a nice way to tell her. I'm trying to figure out how to tell her that, to me, is this a sin for her to be listening to all these prophecies from all these different people that are not even Catholic, and she really believes in their prophecy.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of false prophets out there. These TV preachers are a dime a dozen, and one thing you'll notice about them, if you consider their claims historically, they get it wrong over and over and over and over again. I'm thinking about Hal Lindsey, who wrote The Late Great Planet Earth back, was it 1970? I think he wrote that book, and it had a huge impact. It was perhaps the most systematic explanation of a pre-tribulation rapture, and his thesis was this is right around the corner. So this is like 1970. This is right around the corner. It's about to happen, about to happen, about to happen. And all of his predictions and all of his prophecies and the Lord came to me in a dream and the Lord showed me this, and none of it came true. Not a single bit of it came true. And this is true for all of these other dime a dozen preachers and prophecy people, Jan Crouch and what was his name? Jim and Jan Crouch, Trinity Broadcasting Network. There are so many of them, and they all, as their stock in trade, are all saying, well, the Lord showed me this, and in this dream I saw this, and none of it happens. And it's been going on like this for decades. So after a while, you'd think that people would wise up and just not pay attention to those people because they're just windbags.
This is an intelligent woman. She's a doctor.
I'm not impugning her intelligence whatsoever.
Yeah,
so please don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying that if people look beyond the glitz or look beyond the lurid, titillating things that people say are going to happen, and they just say, okay, well, what is this person's track record? Does it in fact really happen? And what you find out that it really doesn't. They get people. Go ahead. I feel like I'm talking over you. Go ahead, Carmen.
Well, you know, the things that these prophets tell you, that they claim they're doing prophecy, they're things that we already know. We know Jesus will overcome. We know all those things. It's like, what are you telling us? You're not telling us anything that we don't already know. We believe in our faith teaches us that. And mm-hmm. So I'm going to take word from a Protestant and really take heart to what they're saying. And I'm surprised at her, being as intelligent as she is, that she would believe these people. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to say, well, I guess just right. Say, please don't send me these videos any longer. I'm no longer interested. I'm trying
you
to do it in
that.
A nice way.
Yeah, and I'm sure that you can be diplomatic and politely decline. And maybe she'll drop it and she won't bother with it. One verse that I think of based upon what you're saying is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths." So, I mean, this sounds kind of like what she's gotten herself into. Let's face it. And I use the word porn in an advised way here, because obviously porn is something unique unto itself. But this is a kind of this appeals to an appetite of a somewhat different nature that people, even very good people, have, and that is they want to know the future. They want to be in the know. They want to know. It's kind of a form of modern Gnosticism, where there's this information that the people who are on the inside, that they know, and it's a kind of lust for knowledge of the future, and it can become unhealthy. And when somebody develops an appetite for that, I can see where it might be difficult to break away from it. And that might be the situation that she's in right now.
That's what I'm thinking. But do I tell her I don't think you should be listening to them?
Yeah,
or just let her do her own thing?
Yeah,
and then
Only you would know, because you're her friend and you know her temperament and you know your own temperament. So I'm not sure what to say in that regard, but there's certainly nothing wrong with saying to her, come on, these people are saying stuff that never happens. That alone, I should think, would cause her to tear herself away from it. But I want to encourage you to just, as gently as you can, try to pry her loose from that if it's possible. Thanks, Carmen. I'll be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
I want you to listen to this. I noticed this a little while ago. It's called Legacy of an Adopted Child. It won't take long for me to read this to you, but it's interesting. Legacy of an Adopted Child by an Unknown Author. Once there were two women who never knew each other. One you do not remember, the other you call mother. Two different lives shaped to make your one. One became your guiding star, the other became your sun, S-U-N. The first gave you life, and the second taught you how to live it. The first gave you a need for love, and the second was there to give it. One gave you a nationality, the other gave you a name. One gave you the seed of talent, the other gave you an aim. One gave you emotions, the other calmed your fears. One saw your first sweet smile, the other dried your tears. One gave you up, it was all that she could do. The other prayed for a child, and God led her straight to you. And now you ask me through your tears, the age-old question of the years, heredity or environment, which are you the product of? Neither, my darling, neither. Just two different kinds of love. I think that's really beautiful. And if you want to see that or maybe share it with somebody that you care about, you'll find that on my Twitter feed, which is at Patrick Madrid. Check it out. I think you'll find it, if nothing else, it's very thought-provoking, don't you think? 888-914-9149. We'll start off with Ann in Wisconsin. Good morning, Ann, and welcome. Okay, Ann's not ready. We'll come back to Ann. Let's go to Gene in Minneapolis. Hi, Gene.
Oh, hi, Patrick. Oh, it's really a delight to talk with you. I've listened to you ever since you came from the other station in McNamara. But you're very, very informative. I have just a comment on the issue of this, that you were talking about this critical race theory. Mm-hmm. And I've been reading a gentleman who does a lot of research on history of our country and of the Western civilization and how he tries to elevate consciousness of where we're at now. He doesn't make predictions for the future, but if we don't know where we're at, how do we know, make decisions for where we're going? And when we talk about critical race theory, it's something that's been long in the workings of the social engineers. And there are social engineers and people that, you know, try to solidify their power in all countries, particularly the West is being inundated a lot by socialism and where the state becomes predominantly the mother, taking the place of our faith. And I can, in reading one of his books, his name is Dr. E. Michael Jones. Now, he's been smeared on social media and stuff and it's just not true. He's a good Catholic man, professor.
If you don't mind my interruption, Gene, and I am familiar with him, can you just put this in the form of a question?
I will. Thank you for sure. You speak much better than I do. But he talks about in one of his books, it's called Slaughter of the Cities, and it's ethnic cleansing of our cities to a certain extent. By forces that really wanted to dilute the Catholic power in ethnic neighborhoods. And a lot of the ethnic neighborhoods were dispersed by when Afro-Americans from the South came up. They were brought up by, I won't mention.
Forgive me, Gene. I don't mean foundation. But could you phrase it in the form of a question? Otherwise, I'm not sure where to go with it if you're just sharing information with me.
We're in a black-white paradigm, brown, white, black, that the engineers wanted to take away our ethnic, religious power in the different neighborhoods of the big cities. And so they dispersed a lot of the Catholic neighborhoods is where a lot of the black sharecroppers came up from the South during. And we've been pushed in these categories from Irish Catholic, Italian Catholic. And after a couple generations, you only identify as your religion. It's Protestant, Catholic, Jewish, and now Muslim. It's coming in. What I'm trying to say is that's what we don't want to be. We want to maintain our faith, identity, and our ethnicity, because then we get thrown into racial categories of mind, black and white. and brown, and that divides us further. And it really, our Catholic colleges fell for it in the 60s, and I'm really not happy with Hesburgh.
Got it. Hey, Gene, God bless you. I've got to take a break. God bless you. Thanks for calling in today. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. I'll be right back. Today's programming sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare. Information on their health plans available at CatholicHealthShare.com. That's CatholicHealthShare.com.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
All right, we have about 20 minutes to go. Let's go to Ann in Wisconsin. Hi, Ann. Welcome.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can, yeah.
Okay. You got kind of faded away. If the situation, my youngest of four, she's 18, and she's really rebelling against everything in the Catholic faith. Like, she believes that we're not tolerant, that, you know, it's okay to be gay, it's okay to be bisexual, it's okay pretty much to do anything. She will only go to one Catholic church because she feels they're accepting, so she would rather not go. 2 days ago, she confided in me that she believes that she's bisexual. Mm-hmm. She actually hung a flag in our house, and then when I looked it up, realized that's what it was. And she said, well, what did you think about that? I said, well, I'm not happy about it. I was thinking she was just being supportive of that, but then she said no, that she is, and all of her mm-hmm. siblings know about it. And she was just worried that we were going to kick her out of the house. And I am just beside myself. This is kind of one of my worst nightmares.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's 18, you said?
But I feel that she hasn't acted on it as far as I know. I think the problem is that her best friend, very, very sweet girl, she has two mothers. She has two lesbian mm-hmm. mothers. And so I said to her, how long have you felt like this? She said, well, just for a few years. So I am just praying about this. I'm praying to St. Monica. I just don't know where to go from here.
I know. It's got to feel like it's hopeless right now. You say she's 18, is that right?
She just turned 18. Mm-hmm. And she believes, like, pretty much, like, my husband and I are super faithful to Catholic faith, and she pretty much is rejecting everything. She is pro-life, thank goodness, but she's rejecting everything else, and, you know, thinks we're, you know, crazy holy rollers, and, mm-hmm. you know, that we hate
freaks.
People. She's also, yes, and she's also tremendous feminist and liberal, and
Did she go to public high school, Ann?
She did, and it really much, she went to the Catholic grade school through fifth grade, and then we put her in the public junior high, public high school, and I know she has been inundated by the mainstream media and by the high school, and it's just like, you know, everybody against, you know, what we're saying, because she's hearing everything, you know, it's very different, everything else that she hears.
Right. So the first thing I'd like to do is just for the benefit of those parents right now who are listening to your tale of woe, and my heart goes out to you. It really does. As a father, I can only imagine what you and your husband are going through and feeling right now. So you have my complete sympathy and my complete empathy. But for the moment, I want to speak to all of you parents out there who whose children are not yet in junior high school and high school. If at all possible, if you have it within your wherewithal, do not send them to a public school because of this problem. This is increasing. I realize not everybody has that luxury. But if going to a local Catholic school is a possibility, if it's an option, it might require some sacrifice, so be it. If it is homeschooling and it requires some sacrifice, so be it. Because what Anne is sharing with us right now is happening all over the country. These kids are being indoctrinated, and it is a systematic, it is a very effective, systematic indoctrination of the kids in the public schools. And if you have an opportunity to avoid your child getting sucked into that vortex, I urge you, listen to what Anne is saying, because what she's saying is a very common tale. So, Anne, that's, none of that is to diminish the pain that you're experiencing,
right,
but I want other
right.
people to learn from it. So,
yeah, now, I actually reached out to one of my friends, and she has the same thing. She just said her son just said that he was gay, and we're both beside ourselves.
Right. And you're the meanie if you say that that's wrong. You are the hater and the
I'm the hater, yes.
And
I'm
the
always
intolerant.
The hater.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and you'll notice that they don't want to be judged, but they're very quick to judge you. That's how it works. Is it's an incoherent worldview. That's the first thing. It's incoherent. But you have to gently show them that. And you might even say to her, well, honey, if you don't like intolerance, then how come you're being intolerant toward your dad and me? You know, true tolerance mm-hmm. is you don't interfere with somebody's way of looking at things. You don't try to stop them. And to the extent she tries to do that, just point out the inconsistency. You know, she's not really all about diversity. She's not really all about tolerance, because sooner or later, she'll start being intolerant if she hasn't already. So.
Yeah, she already is intolerant of a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. So just point that out.
And she is still, I feel she's filled with a lot of hate, and she hates men. She feels that women are downtrodden and, you know,
Well, ask her this question, Anne. Ask her to define women. And that's going to get her tangled up, because she's probably sold out to the LGBTQ worldview, which holds that people can be trans. They can go from man to woman and vice versa, or any of the other options that are out there, non-binary, etc. Ask her to define woman. What does that mean? And she won't even be able
define
to do
what?
That. Woman. What is
should
a
I
woman?
Define? Woman. Oh, uh-huh.
In other words, if she's neck deep in this ideology, which it sounds like she is, or she's getting there, she won't be able to mm-hmm. define woman. So if she hates men, say, well, how do you define man? How do you define woman? What mm-hmm. does that mean exactly? And mm-hmm. So if you hate men, what if the man that you hate decides he wants to be a woman? Do you suddenly stop hating him then?
Right.
And my reason for kind of walking you through some of these little exercises here is because often that kind of deprogramming is successful if you have the time and the patience where you're consistently bringing up these questions and asking her the questions. It's not like you're lecturing her. You're just asking, well, how do you define mm-hmm. woman? How do you define man?
Mm-hmm.
And the more you ask these questions, the more it will raise in her own mind these questions, and it will help her to see the inconsistencies that she's living with but doesn't see, because no one's pointed them out to her yet. Her own intolerance, her own lack of willingness to allow diversity. She doesn't want to be judged, but she's going to judge you. She's going to judge everyone else. She wants love and all that, but she, as you say, can be hateful. I mean, I hate to talk about her in this way, but we're speaking, I suppose, in general terms. I know you love your daughter and you want her to be happy. So obviously your love
right.
and compassion for her has to be accompanied by speaking the truth in love.
Mm-hmm.
Is she beyond the point of being willing to listen to other voices? I mean, like, would she be willing to listen to Father Mike Schmitz in a YouTube video? Do you think she would be willing to watch some of his messages?
Mm-mm. She won't listen to anything that I would share with her.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, then she's 18 years old. You can't control her now. Legally, at least, you can't control her. She doesn't want you to be telling her anything. So as painful as it is, the advice I would give you would be the advice I would take myself, and that is then just stand by and let her go her way. You've said what you can say. If she asks you for your opinion, you can always give it to her. Love her. Let her know that you'll always love her, but that you don't agree with what she's doing and the direction she's moving in. And then obviously pray your heart out for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Pray, pray, pray. And ask our Lord to mm-hmm. help bring her back around again.
She was afraid we were going to kick her out of the house. I said, Molly, we would never kick you out. And we love mm-hmm. you no matter yeah. what. But,
right.
you know, she knows how we feel about this. Mm-hmm. I didn't say much because she's like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it from you.
Well, then you could say, well, this is my house and you're my daughter and you're going to hear it from me because that's my role in life, is to be a good mom to you. And part of being a good mom to you is to speak the truth to you. Now, if you don't want to hear it, you can always walk out the door. That's your choice. But that's kind of childish. But if that's the way you want it, I can't stop you. But what I would recommend you not do, and I'll leave it at this end, don't back down. Don't go along to get along. Now, what I don't mean is, I'm not saying badger her or, you know, follow her around the house lecturing her. Don't do any of that. I would just say back off and let her go her own way, as painful as that is for you. You'd like to fix the problem, but she won't let you. So you don't really have a choice in that matter. But what I've noticed is that when this happens, often that itself will get the attention of the young person. What changed here? Why are my parents no longer hassling me? How come they're not saying anything? Why are they just sitting back and letting me do things and they're not saying anything? That itself can be an attention getter, which could even lead to her asking you, well, how come you're not bothering me about this anymore? And anyway.
The one thing I wanted to ask you is she hung a flag up in the basement. She lives in the basement. Flag, and that's what I looked up to find out what that meant. And our plan was, actually, we're out of town now, my daughter and I, and my husband's still at home, that to just take that down and just tell her that she's not allowed to hang that in our house. That when she gets her own place, she could hang that. Would you agree with that, or should we leave that up?
What is the flag exactly? Is it the rainbow flag?
It's apparently, I didn't realize, I wouldn't know right away if it's the rainbow flag. No, it's like blue, purple, and pink, and it represents bisexual. It's like each stripe, one is lesbian, one is, you know, regular, and I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
well, but you know, it's, go ahead.
Picked it up, and that's when she said, oh, how did you like my decor? I think it was her way of initiating, like, you know, she wanted to tell me this, and this was how it came about.
I'm of a divided mind on that issue, because I could see on the one hand why you might say, nope, we're not going to have that propaganda up in this house. But on the other hand, what harm is it causing? It's not causing you any harm. I mean, obviously you don't like the message, you don't agree with it, but it's not as though like it's a satanic symbol in an overt sense. I'm sure Satan's really happy with this stuff, but it's not really causing you any harm. And this would be another way for her to say, Mom's not going to war over this. And I thought she would. And that's probably what she wants. She wants, you see, one of the dynamics in this scenario, I think, is where the child feels power over the parents because she's cracking the whip and you're jumping. She's in action mode and you're in reaction mode. And you are always reacting to the things that she's doing. So in essence, you're dancing to her tune, or she's cracking the whip. What often can be helpful in a case like this is where you disrupt that syndrome and you get out of reaction mode and you don't dance to her tune. And that will be puzzling to her, and it may cause her to open up and talk to you more. Maybe it won't, but I mean, it's at least you're no longer the one who is being dictated to. And I presume that in, you know, as time goes by, she'll become less and less interested in wanting to be there under your roof. Now, maybe things will change and she'll come out of this. But in the meantime, though, I would suggest trying that and see if you notice any differences in her demeanor. A book that I am a very big fan of is called The Transgender Craze, Which is Seducing Our Daughters. And this is a book that, in fact, I bought several copies because I wanted to share it with people. And Abigail Schreier is the author of this book. It's still available. Irreversible Damage, excuse me, is the title. The subtitle is The Transgender Craze Seducing Our Daughters. Now, not that your daughter is into the transgender end of things, but this is all kind of bound together, and there are many similarities among these different facets of it. So that would be a good book that would at least help you to understand the mindset of where this comes from and how it's happening. And that's a book I'm personally familiar with, so I think you'll find it helpful. I hope you do. Hang in there, Ann. Thank you. Let's go to Sandy now in Arkansas. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Patrick. Thank you for taking my call. I can feel for the mom who's going through that, because I went through that with my oldest child at 14. And she went to Catholic school up until almost the end of the first semester of fourth grade. Mm-hmm. We had to pull her out because she was a diagnosed juvenile diabetic, and the school did not have a nurse. So we had to put her in a public school, which I really didn't like to do, but that was the only option we had. When she got to be 14, you know, I thought everything was fine. You know, she had a good friend. She has some friends that live down the road. Spent a lot of time with them. I didn't think anything of it. And at 14, she decided she needed to have a talk with me one night. And while I was cooking dinner, and one of the girls from down the road came over who's older than her. And I said, okay, what's going on? And she goes, well, I'm bisexual. And I said, okay, how did you come to this conclusion? Mm-hmm. And she said she'd felt this way since she was 12. And I said, that's not the question I asked. How did you come to this conclusion? Mm-hmm. She couldn't answer me. At that point,
she probably didn't want
I really
to
relied on. No, I don't think she did, because I don't think she had an answer. But I just want to say, don't give up. Keep praying. I prayed so hard for my daughter.
How did things
I prayed
end
for
up?
Her every day. My daughter is now 23. She is living in North Carolina. She's engaged to a man, a very, very nice man. And unfortunately, she has, you know, she got pregnant, but she has I have a beautiful granddaughter. Mm-hmm. So don't give up. I know how that feels, because you feel like your child's going in the wrong direction, but don't give up. Keep praying. Yeah,
that's good
and
advice.
And just keep praying that God will send the right people and the right man into her life.
Your prayers as her mom have great power before God's throne. You have immense standing as her mother before God. So there can be many people praying for her, but you're the only mom she has. And so I want to underscore the point of what you're making here, and that is that the prayers of a mother and father are very powerful in God's eyes. So yes, thank you for pointing that out, Sandy. I appreciate it. I'm glad to hear that things are moving in the right direction. That's good. Let's go now to Andrea, listening in St. Charles, Illinois. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Patrick. You know, I was listening to one of the previous callers talking about her friend who is listening to some people who are not Catholic, mm-hmm. And their views on things. And I have listened to some priests online, Catholic priests, who have pointed out that during, you know, the final days, that there would be struggles over that Satan would basically attack the family, marriage, mm-hmm. sexuality, and the children, which were mm-hmm. being. Mm-hmm. And I believe that only God knows the time and place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I none of us can predict when that is. But I also heard one say that St. John Paul, and I'm not sure which one, made some reference to that we are in the end times. Is that true or not true?
It's true. If what you're thinking of is something that he said in a speech when he was in the United States while he was still a cardinal. This is before the election. I have the quote sort of permanently bookmarked, and here's what he said. And this was, I think it was in Philadelphia, if I'm not mistaken. It was at a Eucharistic Congress. So he says, "We are now standing in the face of the greatest historical confrontation humanity has gone through. I do not think that wide circles of the American society or wide circles of the Christian community realize this fully. We are now facing the final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, of the gospel versus the anti-gospel. This confrontation lies within the plans of divine providence. It is a trial which the whole church, and the Polish church in particular, must take up. It is a trial of not only our nation and the church, but in a sense a test of 2,000 years of culture and Christian civilization, with all of its consequences for human dignity, individual rights, human rights, and the rights of nations." That very likely is the quote that the person is telling you about. And he did say that, and I think he was true. I think he was correct. But notice, Andrea, that was spoken in 1978, you know, not quite 50 years ago. And look how so many aspects of what he described have fallen into place. I think he nailed it.
I know.
It.
Okay, so it is. There is some truth. Okay. And I, all right, well, thank you.
Yeah, there you have it.
I'm glad you verified that. You know, and just let me, completely unrelated to another previous caller, but I know someone in my family whose daughter had a similar issue, and she had a very open conversation with her daughter on what that meant in graphic terms, and her daughter never saw it that way. She saw it kind of in the romantic sense, but she never fully understood what that meant. And when she understood what that meant, that cleared up all the confusion in her mind.
Fair enough. I wish that that were the outcome for all of these unhappy situations, and I'm happy for that particular person on that one. Thank you. I'm out of time, Andrea. I'm sorry. Thank you, everybody, and my apologies to those who are holding on the phones. We'll, you know, let's try it again tomorrow or Monday. Give me a call. Until we're together again, please know that I'll be praying for you as I always do every day. And please pray for me and all of us here at Relevant Radio. God bless you.